Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and is who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. That's the opening greeting in the book of Revelation from John, and I'll preach from that text this morning. Now we heard Pauline read, "Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. They numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with full voice." Imagine that. Myriads and myriads and thousands. They're talking about millions, billions of people. Singing. Singing with full voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honour and glory and blessing." Then I heard every creature in heaven, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, with every ounce of fibre in them, singing, "To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. I'm going to preach on the verse before that. Why were they singing this? Because in verse 10, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests serving our God, and they will reign on earth." This one line sung by the ancients around the throne of God arouses every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them to sing with full voice. So today let's consider these three things: what Christ has done and made us, two, the honour Christ has bestowed on us, and three, the world's future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are worthy of every ounce of praise that we can muster. Lord, you created us and we turned away from you. We try to do it on our own and we see the disaster that that is. So Lord, you sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to teach us, to die for us, to be raised again and ascend to heaven so that we might forever again be part of your family. And Lord, we can do nothing but praise you with every ounce of our being. So Lord, help us to do that all the days of our lives. And at our last breath, join us with the heavenly choir in praising you forever and ever. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. What Christ has done and made us. The multitude standing before the throne of God, singing of the slaughtered lamb, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, who took the scroll and broke the seals. Heaven sings blessing and honour and glory and might to the Lamb who is worthy. The heavenly beings don't praise or glorify themselves. They don't talk about their own free will or their own might. They ascribe their salvation to God. The Lamb has made them what they are. Their glory was bequeathed to them by the dying Lamb. The gold of their hearts was dug from the mines of the agony and bitterness of Jesus' crucifixion. Each string, the sinew of his body. And their robes were washed white in the blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Saints, you who are baptized and believe are likewise justified and have the full assurance that your sins are hidden by Christ's obedience and his precious blood. There's not one sin recorded against you in God's book. Not one sin recorded against you. They've all been obliterated forever by the blood of Christ and cancelled by his own right hand. You have nothing to fear. You can't be condemned. I'll say that again. You can't be condemned. Justification from beginning to end is of God. Salvation is of the Lord alone. And while in this mortal coil, you are sanctified, but not perfectly sanctified yet. You're not redeemed altogether from earthly dross. The law of your flesh still battles against the freedom won by Christ. Your sanctification will only be perfected or completed when you stand before God's throne, where all imperfections will be taken away and the corruptions of your flesh transformed. Still, beloved saints, you are growing in grace. You are making progress in holiness. Christ has done all things necessary, and to his name be honour, glory, praise and dominion. Furthermore, he has made us kings or queens and priests when he signed the covenant of grace. Before God established anything, the Magna Carta of the saints was written by God's own hand, and it needed one signature to make it valid. The requirement in that covenant was that the mediator should become incarnate, live a life of suffering, and at last endure a death of humiliation. And it needed one signature, the signature of the Son of God, to make that covenant valid and eternal. My imagination pictures Jesus grasping a quill and signing the sacred treaty with the name above all names, the Son. And our Heavenly Father stamping it with his great seal, his glorious covenant forever secured. And what honour has been bestowed on us? Well, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests. A kingdom and priests. Saints, you are honoured not with one title, but two. Not only a king, and I'll use the singular, ladies, if you don't mind. Not only a king, but a priest also. The saint has two offices conferred at once, a priestly monarch and a regal priest. You aren't merely to be kings in heaven. You're already kings here on earth. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. Peter tells us that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're kings even now. I want you to understand that. Every saint of the living God doesn't merely enjoy the prospect of being a king in heaven, but is a king here on earth now, in the sight of God. A Christian is a king. He's not simply like a king, but he is actually and truly a king. And the ladies, queens. How? How? You are descended from the King of Kings. Saints, exult in your ancestry, for you are children of God. Your mother is the church, the bride of Jesus. You are twice born children of heaven, blood royal of the universe. The poorest man or woman on earth who loves Christ is of his royal line. Give a person the grace of God in their heart, and their ancestry is noble. You can roll back through your pedigree and say that it's so ancient it has no beginning. it's more ancient than all the roles of the mighty put together, because from all eternity, your Father existed. And saints, you also have a splendid retinue. Kings and monarchs can't travel without all the et ceteras of pomp and ceremony. Likewise, you, whom Jesus Christ has made kings and priests, also have a royal retinue. We don't think about this, do we? Let me explain. If you had eyes to see, you'd perceive a bodyguard of angels perpetually attending every one of the blood-bought family. When you were born, angels stood to announce your birth on high. In the stormy seas of troubled life, when wave after wave threatens to engulf you, angels are there to lift up your head. When you die and are carried to the grave, angels will guard your dust and defend it from the devil. Why should you fear? A company of angels escort you wherever you go. And while others may not see them, you do, for faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We must add to this your insignia and regalia. For instance, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II has Buckingham Palace, her royal crown, her scepter, and so on. Saints, you have palaces too, with walls made of gold, no less, borders adorned with jasper, sapphire, emerald, and other precious gems, windows of pure gold, transparent as glass, gates of pearl. Revelation 21 tells us that. They stand on the hills of heaven. And each of you has a crown of righteousness engraved with these words, made for a sinner, saved by grace, with your name written on yours, Robert. Yours on yours, Maxine. Yours on yours, Alan. All of you have a crown that says, made for a sinner, saved by grace. You are indeed kings before God, with crowns, robes of whiteness, and hearts of glory laid up in heaven. Yet, like all kings, you will endure sorrows. From Proverbs 31 we hear, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to desire strong drink. Saints, you enjoy only a morsel of wine now, a little of the world's delights. But you will have insurmountable joy when you drink it new in your Father's kingdom. Saints, dwell on this. You are kings. I implore you to keep this in mind and rejoice in it even in the midst of tribulation. If you have to go through the dark tunnel of ridicule for Christ's name, if you are mocked and reviled, rejoice in this fact. You are kings, and all the dominions of the earth will be yours. And priests, you are called, elected and ordained to it from the foundation of the world. Think about that privilege, saints. Before the foundation of the world, God had already determined that you would be his royal priesthood. Every saint of the Lord is a priest at God's altar and is bound to worship God with prayer and praise. You are priests, divinely constituted and called by divine grace. And as priests, you enjoy divine honours. Saints of Jesus, heirs of heaven, you have high and honourable privileges that the world can only scoff at. Think about this. Only a priest may enter within the veil. Ask yourself this question. Have you ever been within the veil in communion with Christ? Have you ever been in the court of the Lord's house, the court of the priests, where he has taught you and manifested himself to you in body and blood? Ask yourself those questions. The answer is obviously yes. You know that you enjoy constant access to God's throne. You have a right to speak your griefs and sorrows directly into God's ear. The worldly, the poor children of wrath, have no God to tell their troubles to. They're not permitted within the veil because they reject Jesus. But you may come to God's ear, swing incense before the throne, and offer your petitions in the name of Jesus. Saints, you are divinely honored and divinely blessed. Kings and priests. And the world's future. And they will reign on earth. There's little I dare say about this, as I'm not permitted to say more than God has revealed in Holy Scripture. Many treat John's revelation like divine tea leaves that can be interpreted by mortals. I'm wary of such antics. I've read so many different views about it that they've become a casserole of phantasmagoria that gives me indigestion. I don't pretend to be a cartographer, a mapper of future events. I simply believe all the Bible says of a glorious future where the saints will one day reign on the earth. And I believe it because Christ died to make it so. For now, I know we don't reign visibly. Often we're mocked. But the hour is coming when, instead of being dishonored, you will be honored. You, saints, will reign on this earth. The kingdom of Christ will have the upper hand. It won't be cast down. The world will cease to be Satan's playground. The earth will sing in harmony with all of creation an unending song of praise to the ever-glorious God. To him be all glory and honour and praise. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.